So much more to talk with Catherine Albrecht about, with all this changing technology, invasion of our privacies. But we'll also take your calls, too, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. What's in the world of video games, Catherine, for kids? Are they trying to sneak any messages in?
Yeah, you know, the things being aimed at our kids are really disturbing, and I think most adults probably don't realize this because we're not watching Saturday morning cartoons, we're not playing the video games, and we're not really being exposed to all of this.
Right.
But the video games have become really insane, and I'm going to argue something. In the Bible, it actually says that if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's committed adultery. What if you kill somebody in your mind? What if you kill millions of people, well, not millions, thousands of people in your mind through a video game? Are you also committing murder? Are you killing? And I remember I once had a 16-year-old student of mine, I used to tutor, and I was helping him to get motivated for school. He was getting bad grades. And he said, you know, and so I said, well, don't you want to grow up and get a good job? He said, well, I'm going to join the military. And I said, well, why do you want to do that? He said, because the only thing I'm good at is killing people.
Jeez.
And I backed away, you know, like steps away from him.
Yeah, gotta go.
Yeah, before I actually mustered the courage to say, what do you mean? He says, well, I play Grand Theft Auto. I play Call of Duty. I'm the best Call of Duty player in my entire school. I know how to kill people from behind a rock, from up in the sky. I know how to kill people who are coming at me.
And he's bragging, right?
He's bragging that he's killed tens of thousands of people and that his main skill in life is murdering, that his main skill in life is killing. And how are we training? What is in these young kids' heads when they play these games 8 and 10 and 15 hours a day? Killing and killing and scenes of killing and killing. And so obviously we're corrupting youth. And what's happening to the girls, I think, is just as bad. There's a genre of literature, young adult literature, YA literature. And the new thing, that paranormal romance has been the big thing since Twilight, right? Well, now the new thing is replacing the vampires with, quote, fallen angels, so that girls, teenage girls, are trained to fall in love with and dream about having a relationship with a fallen angel. You know, the dark, brooding guy at your high school who just turns out to be an angel. And the idea that angel sounds great. Who wouldn't want to fall in love with an angel? Except for the fact that a fallen angel refers to the fact that Satan, when he rebelled against God, took a third of the angels from heaven, and they all fell to earth and became the fallen angels, otherwise known as demons. And so you've got, I encourage your listeners, everybody listening, next time you're passing by your local library, you may not go into it normally, go into the library, go into the young adult section and look at the books on the shelf. They're not what they were when we were kids. It's not Little House on the Prairie. It is demon this, occult that, spell casting the other. It's absolutely crazy. And it's infiltrating our kids' minds to equate this stuff not with danger, but with dark fascination and love and wanting to commune with dark things.
How's your health these days after fighting your stage 4 breast cancer?
I'm so glad you asked. I'm actually really thrilled. I just had my full body scans. I have stage 4 breast cancer, and I am completely cancer-free.
100%
clean bill of
health. Good for you.
Thank you. I'm feeling great.
Prayers help, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And your listeners have written to me and sent me so much encouragement and prayer when I was actually going through all the difficult parts of this. They sent me cards, letters, gifts. People have just been wonderful. And I got to say, Coast listeners are the best in the whole world.
Watch this segue now. Isn't there a smart bra on the market?
Talk about stupid. So, yes, this is a new product. It's coming out in 2016. And it is designed to be a Fitbit, like a Fitbit that you actually wear in your bra against your breasts, which are very sensitive to electromagnetic energy and the last place you would ever want to put a Bluetooth connection or any kind of transponder. So, yes, they're coming out with more and more of these crazy products in order to do what I was talking about earlier, create the Internet of Things where physical objects like a bra that you normally don't think about become equipped with awareness, become equipped with technology. But the last place in the world you want to put that kind of technology, just like I was saying in Texas with the developing girls having RFID transponders beaming out signals right near their breasts, you really don't want to put an RFID signal or any kind of radio signal near your breasts. It's just a bad idea.
Well, you know, Patricia Bragg, the health guru who took over from her father,
yes.
She claims that wearing any kind of apparatus is potential for cancer?
Sleeping in it especially. And I have to admit that I slept in a bra for years, and not because I had to, just because I just did. And I have read that literature. I've read that research. The jury's kind of out on that research, but I'll tell you, I really wish I hadn't. And so if you're in a position where you can go without a bra comfortably because you're not out jogging around or maybe you're sleeping, then by all means, don't wear a bra. The other thing people need to know is that there's been a rash of 20-something women developing breast cancer.
Oh, no.
In the place where they tuck their cell phones into their bras.
Oh, you're
and
kidding.
Women's clothes don't come with pockets. It's really, all you clothing
wow.
designers listening, start giving us pockets. If you want to carry your cell phone, you either have to tuck it in the waistband of your pants or you have to tuck it into your bra. And there has been a huge increase in the number of women who shouldn't be developing breast cancer because they're 22. And the breast cancer is exactly in the place where the antenna of their cell phone was being kept out jogging.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's take some calls here. They're lining up for you, Catherine. Let's pick it up by going to Donald in Kent, Ohio, to get things started. Hey, Donald, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, George. I'll tell you what, Catherine is one of my favorite guests. You know, Catherine, I met you at Chent, West Virginia, the zombie seminar back in 2006 with the Dr. Nick Megich also, the Angels Don't Play This Harp. You
right.
guys were the most dynamic speakers.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. I remember that well.
Yes, you know, I'm a recovering Catholic, and the priest used a golden censer filled with incense. It's a rather fragrant part of a funeral or a high mass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not limited to just the Greek Orthodox. But, you know, my question to you is this. The grievous sore of Revelation 16:2, I was under the impression from the studying that I did that the chip is actually powered by a lithium battery and a local EMP, electromagnetic pulse, or even a solar flare could cause the chip to malfunction and basically explode and create this grievous sore. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so you're mostly absolutely right on target, Donald. The RFID microchip, actually the implant like this one that the Swedish guy got to go through the airport, doesn't actually contain a battery. And that, in a way, actually makes it worse because it, in order to be powered, the energy has to create a sort of field, like a curtain of energy coming out from the reader. And that doesn't just expose your hand, it exposes your whole body to that field. So the energy comes from the field. But taking it to the next step, we know that if a person has a microchip implant in them and they go into an MRI machine or they're exposed to an EMP pulse weapon, that microchip will actually heat up, and in an MRI it will actually shoot out of you like a reverse bullet because it's magnetic and it'll just go
yep.
and fly out of you and leave a hole
in
your
body. They ask you things like that.
They do. They say, you know, have you ever worked around metal and have metal shards in your eyes? Because they're worried because the MRI is such a strong magnet that one person was killed when a nurse walked in the room with scissors in her hand.
Oh.
They flew across the room and killed the person in the MRI. That's how powerful
no.
that magnet is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's literally realigning the iron molecules in the cells of your blood. That's how powerful the magnet is. That's how it works. So if you have an MRI implant, then obviously that's going to shoot out of you like a reverse bullet. You don't want to have a chip, and it basically getting chipped means you can't get an MRI. But the thing, Donald, that you're talking about is the EMP pulse. So if you take an RFID chip and you put it in the microwave, it will actually burst. It will get so hot. We actually show this in spy chips. We got a picture of one of these. That if you have it inside your body and your body receives the equivalent of a microwave through an EMP blast, it could rupture and actually cause a noisome and grievous sore in your body. So that's definitely a potential. And I got to say, when I was doing the research, if you go to chipmenot.com or antichips.com, you can see the pictures of the horrible cancers that formed around these microchips, and you could definitely say that they're also noisome and grievous sores. So either way, it's just not healthy.
Why does a piece of metal snap, crackle, and pop in a microwave, and a piece of paper does not?
It's because it's actually absorbing the energy that's going in there. So it depends on what it's made out of. Like if you put something in the microwave that doesn't have any water in it, it won't heat up. But so the water absorbs the energy, the metal absorbs the energy, these things absorb the microwaves, and it becomes excessive. So if you put an RFID microchip in the microwave, it literally takes like 5 seconds for it to go pop. And a lot of people are doing this, I don't recommend it, but a lot of people are doing this to say to their passports. If you put it in for a minute, the passport will literally catch on fire.
Jeez.
And that's the property of the federal government. So you probably don't want to do that. If you put it in for 5 seconds, it'll have a big char mark on the back because that's how long it takes to burst the RFID chip.
Let's go to Port Huron, Michigan. Harry's turn. Hi, Harry. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Catherine, I sure appreciate what you just said about the chips in our bodies, and I agree with you on the health aspect. But I'm very concerned about this thing about tracking kids. And what I'm concerned about is not just kids, but adults in general. We just had another one, went to a Halloween party 3 months or in October and got killed on the way home, and they found her body. She got a ride home with a friend. Some friend. So I see that you're against these kind of tracking things. I guess my question to you would be, what is your solution? What do we do so we can find these kids or these people so faster and sooner? We got to do something. It's crazy what's going on.
Yes, it's. I guess this is called the Hegelian dialectic. And if I were mind melding to try to understand what our spiritual enemy, the beast, is doing, I would say, by corrupting people through this horrible filth that's out there, by corrupting their spirits and causing them to commit these kind of crimes and shoot up high schools and abduct people and commit rapes and murders when they're just kids themselves, then that obviously, if you can create a situation where humanity is so depraved that there's crime around every corner, then the solution becomes really obvious. Just chip everybody, track everybody, put everybody under constant and continual surveillance, and then you build the absolute conditions that you need to implement the mark of the beast. I would argue that today kids have more tracking devices than they've ever had before in the form of their cell phones. Kids are actually carrying around a more precise GPS tracking device than it was even envisioned with an implant 10 years ago. So they're already carrying these devices, and it's not really making them that much safer. I don't think implanting them is going to make that much of a difference. If somebody wants to commit a crime, they're going to do it whether the person is being tracked or not being tracked.
And with animals, what's wrong with the old little ID tag around the collar?
You know why that's better? To simply put a regular metal tag on your animal. I once had two white dogs show up in my backyard, and my husband and I looked at the dogs, and we saw the tags, we brought them in our house, we put them in the bathroom, they're really sweet dogs, and then we called the number on the tag, and we met with the owners, and we gave them back. If those dogs had had microchips instead of tags, we wouldn't have been able to call the owners, and we would have had to call the Humane Society, which then would have picked them up, and if those microchips malfunctioned or if those people failed to pay their monthly subscription to the company, which nobody tells you, you have to do that, or they won't even tell you whose dog it is, those dogs would have been put to sleep. So it's far better to have a tag with a phone number or an email address that a human can read than to have some kind of technology that only experts are able to even find, because then your animal winds up in more danger.
All right, we have Carla, truck driving in Dallas, Texas, first-time caller. Hello, Carla.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Carla.
Hi. Back in, I guess, in my mid-20s, I had the Norplants for 5 years, and I was wanting to know what kind of research that you know about them.
That's the Norplant birth control implant that goes in your arm, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I've got to tell you, I haven't done a lot of research into that particular device. That's something that goes in your arm and releases a steady dose of hormones for birth control purposes. I know that it doesn't have the electromagnetic implications that RFID microchips have. We do know that anytime you put an implant in the body, even if it's something medically necessary like a pacemaker or a heart stent, that there's a small possibility that it can actually become cancerous. Usually people weigh the benefits and they say, well, gosh, if I'm going to die because my heart's going to stop, I'll run that tiny risk of developing cancer around the heart implant. But anybody who's implanting something in their body probably at least needs to know and weigh the pros and cons and know the risks. But I think you're probably safe. I assume you've had it removed.
Yes. After the 5 years that it was up, I had it removed. Every now and then, I'll get like a little twinge of, you know, a minor pain where the implant was at. But I haven't had any problems. And, you know, back then, I didn't think about stuff like that. You know, I was more concerned about not getting pregnant. Well,
I haven't seen any studies at all that show anybody developing cancer after an implant of any kind has been removed. So you're probably out of the woods.
And with the dog, when have you seen the cancers develop? How soon after the implant or the chip is put in them?
Well, you know, it should be not. We actually have the story of a number of animals. This is literally people's close pets that have developed these cancers. In fact, the way I first found out about this, George, was when a woman named Jeannie contacted me about her French bulldog, Leon, who developed cancer around his chip. And she was petting him one day, and she noticed a lump. And usually they put the chip in the scruff of their neck. And so owners who want to check for this should, any owner with a microchip pet should palpate, kind of squeeze, kind of like a self-exam.
Is it like the size of a grain of rice or a little bigger than that?
It's really small. You won't notice it, but if there's a lump around it, you want to run, not walk, to your vet because, or if there's any heat or tenderness, this is what you're checking for. So it's kind of like a breast self-exam. You're looking for a lump in your pet. And if you find it, a number of pets have actually been saved when they'd simply remove the microchip and the tumor around it before it spread.
Do we have a percent on how many animals come down with the cancer?
Well, you know, there's so much money, George, involved in microchipping animals that the industry, the microchipping industry, the Homegain people and all the chipping folks and the vets don't even want to acknowledge that this is happening. And I've argued at chipmenot.com that we need to create an international registry where people can report these events because right now it's one-offs. They're written up in medical journals. People are writing to me with photographs of their animals. There was a lawsuit against Merck, who makes an implant when a cat named Balkan developed a tumor around his implant and died. So we know anecdotally of literally dozens and dozens of cases, but there's probably thousands of cases that just aren't getting reported. And I've got all those case histories, pictures of the animals, pictures of the tumors, and things that owners need to look out for at chipmenot.com. So I encourage people to check out that website.
How far ahead are they in technology, Catherine, that we don't know about, that even you might not know about? How far advanced are they?
Ooh, well, who knows? I mean, you know, you're the expert on
the
alien
unknown
technology being introduced. By the way, I should point out one of the very first RFID companies was literally named Alien Technology. It's actually one of the biggest RFID companies. You can look it up. Alien Technology. Like, they just want to rub our noses in it. So as far as advancement, I don't know. I know that DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration, is doing all kinds of creepy research, like trying to figure out how to take insects and when they're in the larval phase, make them pupate around surveillance devices so that a butterfly or a dragonfly would literally have a camera inside of its body capable of transmitting back to the mothership, you know, back to the government. So they were working on that like 5-10 years ago. So who knows what they've got today?
All right. Well, you stay with us, Catherine. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some final phone calls from you and for you, of course. So those of you on hold, just hang right there. Those of you who are calling, we'll get right to you next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, for you Coast Insiders, we have our Coast Insiders guest chat tomorrow. It starts at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Our guest will be Andrew Bosciago, of course. Andrew claims that he was beamed aboard Mars with a young Barack Obama. So check in with him. He also is running for president, so you can chat with him about those aspirations, too. Okay, here we are back with Catherine Albrecht. Her websites, by the way, are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but you also started a website called Smart Mail, a search engine, did you not?
Yeah, but it's Start Mail because Start Mail, S-T-A-R-T Mail, because smart means spy.
Did I say smart?
You did.
I always say that.
You know, everybody does. If you have a smart toaster, the toaster is spying on you. If you have a smartphone, your phone is spying on you. So we have Start Mail because we want you to start protecting your privacy with PGP encryption. And we know from Ed Snowden that PGP encryption can't even be broken by the NSA. It's a powerful way to protect your privacy. Obviously, if there is some case of somebody misusing Start Mail and we have a valid court order from a Dutch authority, then at that point, you know, we will comply with those authorities to make sure it's not misused. But for the 99.99999% of us who are using our email legitimately, we're trying to prevent those other big free email services from reading all your email. So it's at startmail.com. And I've actually got a special code for Coast listeners, which is my initials, KMA. So if you're interested, you can try it out free for 7 days. And if you want to get an account, just use the code KMA, and you can start protecting your email so nobody but you and your recipient can read it. So it takes what I was trying to use 15 years ago, PGP encryption, which is super complicated. And it was so hard that it took me 6 months to learn it. And I couldn't get anybody else to do it with me because both people have to use it. With StartMail, that's not the case. It takes 5 minutes to set up. You don't need, a six-year-old could do it. You don't need a computer degree. And the other person on the other side doesn't have to have it for you to have its protections. So basically, I said, how are we going to take this impossible thing and make it easy for everybody to use? It took us 3 months to, or excuse me, 3 years to build it. And now we've got it down to literally one click to make your email military-grade encrypted and protected.
StartMail.
Yeah, start with a T, startmail.com.
StartMail.
And by the way, my website, which is just my name, KatherineAlbrecht.com or KMAshow.com. I've got more information on that and the chipping, the animal chips, my daily radio show, lots of other information. So that's KMAshow.com. And I have to mention my children's book because we talked about kids not knowing about the Mark of the Beast.
Sure.
We didn't talk about the solution. So when I realized that my 8-year-old experience of my grandmother warning me about the Mark of the Beast was not going to be happening for today's kids, I created a book. It's called I Won't Take the Mark. It's at virtuepress.com to facilitate that conversation. So if you're one of the grandparents or parents listening and you think, well, actually, my kid doesn't know about the Mark of the Beast, how am I going to have that conversation? This book is an easy way to just start the conversation. You get the book. It's a beautifully illustrated children's book. It's good for even adults because it has full King James scripture in it. And it will enable you to give the book, sit down, and in 5 minutes you can read it and impart the story without a whole bunch of angst figuring out how to do it. And the most important part is at the end there's actually a promise. It's a certificate, frameable, beautiful 8x10 certificate. We sell it with frames at virtuepress.com for a full gift package that the child, it actually says, I promise never to worship anyone but God and never to take the mark of the beast. I call on Jesus Christ to help me keep my promise. And then there's a place where the child can write their name. You witness it, and then you write the date. Then you put it in an 8x10 frame, and you hang it on their wall, and they remember it every single day that they've made this promise. Because someday our generation that knows about this will be long gone, and their generation is going to be the one that's going to be, somebody's going to be coming at them with an injector device, like that 15-year-old kid in Texas who put it in his own hand. And if he'd read this book, if his parents or grandparents would have cared enough to actually pass this on to him, he never would have done that, I like to think.
Where do other countries stand compared to us for chipping and things like that?
Well, Malaysia is putting RFID microchips in all of the license plates in the country, so we certainly know that's happening. I think we're going to see it more and more in identity documents. The U.S. led the way downhill in 2005 by requiring all countries to have RFID chips in their passports, and that was actually a U.S.-led initiative. So now countries all over the globe have RFID chips in their passports. The U.S. government is trying to put RFID chips in all of our driver's licenses, but for right now that's in border states. It's called an enhanced driver's license, and you don't want to get it because it means that the Walmart underwear shelf can be reading your license right through your wallet as you stand in the store. So you definitely don't want that. It's a privacy nightmare. It's a terrorism nightmare. It's a really bad idea. But I think the U.S. is really leading the charge. We know in China also, see, in China, they don't have to worry about civil liberties or trying to pretend they're doing this for your security. The Chinese government has actually said that they want ways to control their population
more
tightly.
Yeah.
And so they've actually put RFID chips in all of the national ID cards issued to Chinese, which means if you're walking around in China, a lamppost could actually scan your ID card through your wallet and know your landlord's name, your educational history, your reproductive history, everything about
Everything's
you.
There.
Horrible.
What about where you are?
Well, if you've got, in order to figure out where somebody is with an RFID tag, because they don't have a battery source, a cell phone is much better for that.
Okay.
An RFID tag, to tell where you are, you've got to actually pass by a reader, and the reader's got to read you and make a note. Oh, I saw him pass through that doorway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be, you know, like all these people who chip their pets, who think their cat's going to run off in the woods and they're just going to be able to go onto a map and pinpoint the cat. It doesn't work that way. You've actually got to have the cat or the dog literally within 6 inches of your reader device, which means the vet or the animal, you know, people are putting the reader over their bodies looking for the chip. It's not going to help you locate something on a map.
All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Tom in Riverside, California to get this segment going. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, Catherine. I'm glad that you're not a victim of your breast cancer that others have been.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Joan Vian, I know she died of breast cancer.
She was a very, very good friend of mine. And in fact, I interviewed her just 2 months before she passed from breast cancer. So, yeah, we've lost a lot of really wonderful, wonderful.
And Drew Breitbart as well. I don't know what the circumstances were, but suspicious at least.
I agree.
I wanted to ask you about the drones that are coming onto the scene. I think they're very substantial in the role that they're going to play in this control of our what was our country. And also the autonomous cars that they're talking about, that I can't see them coming onto the scene and completely for a long time, for 30 years or so. But I mean, in the end, really, it's us that makes the decision what the government does. If we stand up to the government,
if we stand up, that's right.
Yeah, we have to stand up, like Kennedy said. You have to stand shoulder to shoulder, and
look where that got him, though, Tom.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, at any rate, that's all you can do, and that's what they did in the revolution. You know, if God help George Washington, if he was here now, I guess in what we got, but that man, when they walked into Trenton on Christmas morning, they lined up cannons on the streets for the British soldiers coming out of the houses that they were being.
They sure did. Well, let's get Catherine's response on the drones first. And the feds are now monitoring drones. You have to register them if you have one that weighs a little more than half a pound.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting thing, I think, with the drones, because it's sort of, I mean, if Stalin had drones, he could have had a spy hovering over every house. I mean, it's a way to put the eyes and ears of government, of hackers, of criminals, of spies pretty much all around us. Of course, they also potentially have some benefits. You could have Amazon delivering your packages via drone the same day you order them and dropping them on your front porch, but some of us question whether that benefit is worth the trade-off. As far as the self-driving cars, Tom, I have bad news for you. There's actually,
it's coming.
The government is fully in support of this. Mercedes, BMW, Tesla have already released these cars, and they claim, the government officials claim that there will be 10 million self-driving cars on the road within 4 years by 2020. So they're coming. It's going to happen. And there's a really horrible story about a journalist who was uncovering some secrets about top military officials in the Obama administration. And he actually called one of his friends and said, I feel like I'm being tracked. I feel like my car isn't safe. Can I borrow your car? And she said, not tonight. I don't know if it was in the shop. She couldn't borrow it. Well, that night he went out driving and his car accelerated and slammed into a palm tree at like 50 miles an hour on a residential street, killed him instantly. And that is being investigated, been investigated as believing that someone actually remotely hacked into his car and killed him by accelerating his car against his control.
You never know.
If we have self-driving cars, those cars could drive us off cliffs. Those cars could take us directly to the interrogation station, lock all the doors, and you'd just be pounding, let me out, as it drives.
Oh, my God. I definitely wouldn't want to sit in the back seat while it's driving around and malfunctions.
It's scary. And it's not only the malfunction, because they've actually done a pretty good job. These things are really effective and they don't tend to malfunction, but the potential for abuse, for government to control it, to make you go wherever they want you to go, or literally to limit where you could go. Can you imagine living in a world, George, where the only places you could go would be from home to work and to the
mm-hmm.
store?
You will all be home by 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Boom.
And your car, you want to go visit a friend, your car says, no, I'm sorry.
You're not going.
You don't have government approval to go to that location today, so I'm not going to drive you there.
Do you think that's the reason they want to do this? It's not to prevent accidents, because honestly, one of the big revenue producers for local municipalities happens to be the police departments issuing tickets. If you have cars driving the limit, there's not going to be any more tickets.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. Maybe we need to get the local police departments to argue against these cars. It's going to cut
boycott these things. Well, also, it's a way to cut back on staff. You know, I just had a story before you came on about how artificial intelligence and robotics will, you know, create 5 million less jobs. You're not going to need all those police officers on the freeways if their main job is crowd and traffic control.
Yeah, and just the whole notion of all of these jobs that will be lost. So you talk about police, you know, traffic cops, but we've got tens of millions of people who make their living driving buses and taxis, and I know you have a lot of listeners on your program because I hear from them who drive 18-wheelers.
Oh, yeah, huge, huge.
You know, this is a major part of our economy, and they're really gunning for those jobs, and we're going to see unemployment on a scale we've never seen it before. It's like we're freeing ourselves up for leisure, but then we don't know what to do with the leisure time, and we sit around and play video games and watch TV and get fat. And I'm not sure that maybe making everything easier by allowing technology to do it for us is going to make our lives better. It's going to make us unemployed and have nothing to do with our time.
We now have Deborah in Tennessee. Hello, Deborah. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Deborah.
This program is so well-timed. I know that when you've been on before, I tried to call you, but I couldn't get through. But I have a kind of an interesting situation in that I have a neighbor that moved in about a year before my husband passed away, and he's been gone 5 years now, and I've been electronically surveilled ever since he moved in next door to me.
Hmm.
Well, I've had some of these interesting things happen, like you just mentioned about the vehicle, you know, kind of veering off the road.
Yeah.
Well, every time these people learn something new, they try it out on me. And I've had that happen several times where I'd be driving, and the vehicle would want to veer the other direction. They've put chips on my vehicle, you know, where they would be at home driving it on their computer. But
wow.
The microchips is what I called about. I have cuts all over my skin from night before last. They have technology over there where they're able to make themselves invisible. And this is absolutely phenomenal. I know it sounds crazy, but they're able to, and they've been able to for a long time. And they can come in, they can put my dogs to sleep. They were able to do that first for hours. The dogs wouldn't bark at all. I have two very active dogs. And now they can do it to me. And they did that.
Wow.
And had me asleep long enough and put, I've got cuts all over blood vessels in my neck. And this has been kind of a progressive sort of thing where they did it on my hip. You know, on one side, then they went to the other side, depending on, I guess, who was happened to be training at the time.
What are they doing to her, Catherine?
You know, I've heard from a number of people over the years. I mean, I'm kind of the microchip lady, so people reach out to me. And to be honest, I have not gotten to the bottom of it. I used to pursue every case and look into it all. And then I started finding, George, that I just wasn't getting anywhere.
Is it widespread?
You know, it's happening to enough people, or enough people are reporting these symptoms that there's something going on, whether it's, I don't know what it is, but I actually have a policy, in case anybody wants to reach out to me, please don't, that I only talk if your doctor or your attorney reaches out to me and provides evidence of what's going on for you. And I've had that policy in place for about 5 years now, only because I was getting overwhelmed. I was
right.
Getting so so many reports. And I thought, well, at least in that case, I'll be able to have kind of an independent verification. And I have to say, I've yet to find a single person who's contacted me meeting those criteria of having their doctor or attorney contact me. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going on.
It's a strange situation.
But I know that I'm not aware of any RFID technology that's capable of that. So if it's really happening to people, it must be something completely out of my league.
Catherine, give out some websites and how people can listen to your show and what they can do.
Wonderful. Well, startmail.com, coupon code KMA or promo code KMA. You can go to my website, kmashow.com, or just my name, katherinealbrecht.com. That's where I've got the link to all of the websites on human chipping, animal chipping, antichips.com, chipmenot.com, and also my daily radio show. And by the way, I've got 9 years at this point of archive shows, which are free for people to listen to and download. And a lot of those people driving semis across the country are listening to my show in that way. So I encourage you, check it out. It's all free. It's kmashow.com. And then, of course, the book, which is probably the most important mission of my entire life, is to get the word out about the Mark of the Beast to today's kids. That's at virtuepress.com for under $100. It's a beautiful gift package that you can have gift wrapped together with a frame and make a permanent impression. And it's probably the most important gift you can give a child you love, the gift of salvation.
Super, Catherine. Until next time, always great talking with you. She was a great guest, by the way, on our Beyond Belief television show.